Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Indeed it is. Second hour. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. You're going to need that today. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. If it's not working, you need to talk to them right now. Schedule at springhillac.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. You hear him mornings leading up to our show starting at 6 o'clock. He's half of that morning show. His name is Robbie Stanley. He now joins us. Robbie, I'm going to start somewhere different because I know Willie's going to get into some Predator stuff that we've been talking about all week and in particular the last two shows. But I did hear that you weighed in on this. I somehow missed it, but I know that you weighed in on it because I sent these guys this tweet that I saw last night. I was watching the Nashville SC game last night at Geodis Park. By the way, it looked like a good crowd on a Wednesday night. Nice win for them. Nice bounce back. After I was watching the game in Charlotte that got away from him over the weekend. But I saw this on Twitter circulating about the backline supporters, the collective board of directors, and how they've kind of reached out to the club. And they've also had some requests and you know, they profess their love on Twitter about this soccer club. So I just want you – I don't know enough about this. I really do want to learn a little bit more, and I don't know what you said, but I know you weighed in on it, so kind of let us know your thoughts on it and our audience because I'm not sure what to make of it.
Well, I saw this come across Twitter yesterday while NHL free agency stuff was going on, and basically the Backline Supporters Collective, which is a group of – supporters that obviously are there for Nashville SC, and there's a lot of people that are made up of this group. They basically put out a statement on Twitter and on social media talking about lack of communication between Nashville SC and for some of their supporters groups as well. So I think a lot of this came from basically the genesis of it was parking over at the fairgrounds. There was a lot that has now since been taken away apparently, and that affects where they tailgate and where they set up and where they get ready to go in the games. It's a very loud, boisterous group over there. They've done a great job supporting the team over the years. But they came out with this statement yesterday, and I'll just read a little bit from it. I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing again, but just it starts off by saying, you know, thick and thin, win, lose, or draw, we back the boys in gold. To be clear, this is not about the players. It's not about on-field performance. It's also not about parking, tailgates, and signings, and they go through this whole list, and then they have four requests for the club at the end of this little diatribe they go on, and part of it is about a discount system for supporters at the in-stadium supporters bar. So you're sitting there starting this thing out, talking about how it's not about parking, tailgates, and signings, and then you're asking for discount for concessions, and you're asking for priority pricing changes that impact some of the supporters groups as well. I just thought it came off to me as a very whiny, entitled, quite frankly, loser post from the Backline Supporters Group. I've heard from a lot of people who are in the Backline Supporters Group who have said that this does not reflect the way that they think, who have said that they have paid dues to be in the Backline Supporters group, and they were never even consulted about this before the statement got put out there, that a small number of people just went with this and did it and posted it from the Backline social media account. So they got absolutely crushed for this yesterday on social media. which they should have. Again, I think it was just loser talk from the backline supporters group. They should be crushed for it. And I think there's been some sort of resolution. Apparently, Nashville SC is going to meet with them. One of the requests they threw out there was quarterly meetings with Ian Ayer. So I don't know what all is going to come from it. I thought it was a bad look, and they're getting crushed for it, and I hope they keep getting crushed for it.
He is the CEO. He's been on our show many times. Is that correct? They want sit-downs with him?
Four times a year.
Yeah, like,
four times a year.
Quarterly meetings with club
to leadership. What? To run the – do they want – I'm just trying to figure out, because I read the stuff, too, yesterday, last night, and I sent it to our group text, and I was like, could someone help me understand what's going on here? I mean, I've been to a game. Want to get back. In fact, my son walked in when I was watching the game last night. He's like, when are we going to go again? Because, unfortunately, the one we went to didn't last very long, and it got rained out. So I'm familiar with, you know, the setup and the scene. What are they – I don't understand. Like, some of this stuff, it doesn't even make any sense. Is this commonplace in the MLS, or like these support groups around the league where they get sit down? Like, did they get data from other markets that this stuff is happening, so why don't we get it? Or help me understand why this was put out there.
I mean, it's a great question. I don't think so. Like, it comes off as, quite frankly, thinking you're more important than you really are. Like, that's really what it comes off as to me. And again, most of the people that I've heard from that have joined this group and are in the back line can't stand that this statement came out yesterday. They don't like it. So this is a very small number of people who have decided to go ahead and put this out there. And I think, again, I just think it sounds like a bunch of entitled whiny babies out there that maybe are not getting things the way that they want, and now they're crying about it on social media. So it's a horrendous look, quite frankly. I wish Nashville SC would have just let it go in one ear and out the other and wouldn't have responded to it, because I don't think they need to respond to it. Look, if you've ever been to a soccer game here, the atmosphere is great. The supporter section is great. I mean, everything is done really well over there for the most part, other than some of the communication that they have, which is a story from a different day. But everything for the most part is done pretty well over there. So to me, all this does, and people pointed this out in the comments section yesterday, both on Twitter, on Facebook, it's like, okay, you say you're all about the team and you're going to unequivocally support Nashville SC, and now all of a sudden you're going to not have flags, you're going to not have drums, you're going to pull away until they meet your request list. Like, it came off as just thinking you have way more power and way more say than you actually do and that you actually should. And again, I thought it was 100% loser talk.
Robbie, did they go through with it last night? Did they not chant or drum? I mean, it looked great. The crowd looked awesome last night. It was a great win for the team.
27,000 last night?
Yeah, they won 1-0 last night. It was a great-looking crowd. I mean, I don't know if y'all have seen this or not. Joe Willis made an unbelievable save.
Oh, yeah, amazing. I watched the game. It was an exciting game, a good quality win, a much-needed win. They've been struggling some. But I was curious. Like, I can't tell with the background. It still sounded like there was chanting
and
crowd noise. I heard it.
But was it them, or was it a difference? There's more than one support group, right?
Oh yeah, there's more than one support group, and I don't know exactly who it was. You know, apparently, there's been a resolution to whatever complaints they had, because the back line has since put it on social media that their voices have been heard and they're back to normal now. So I don't know
what the
resolution looked like, and I don't know if that maybe has more to do with the backlash they got than anything else on social media. But yeah, that seemed to work out pretty quickly.
All right, switching gears. So I'm just going to – my one question to you, and then I'll turn it over to Willie, is of what's left now that the smoke is cleared from yesterday and hopefully Columbus has woken up from their drunken stupor yesterday. They're probably very hungover today. But what's left? The move needs to be made by the – I think the Predators and the Islanders were the only two teams not to make a move so far in free agency. With what's left and what's realistic, what do you think is the play for David Poile?
I think it's a trade. I think they're working on a trade to add to the top six, because I look at the options with free agency. You know, Nino Niederreiter, he's a good player. I'm really surprised he didn't get signed yesterday, and quite frankly, him not getting signed yesterday kind of tells me that maybe he's looking for something and asking for something that at the moment is just not quite realistic, because he's a good player. With some of the other deals that were made yesterday, I was pretty surprised that Niederreiter wasn't a part of that group. So he's still on the table for you. That's probably the most attractive free agent option that's still left that I think is realistic. Obviously, Kadri's out there, but I can't see that happening with the Predators. So unless you're going the Niederreiter route, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense based on what David Poile said the other day with you guys, he's not going to sign a one-year deal, I don't think. So I don't know that I see that part of it happening. I think a trade is going to end up happening, and there's intriguing names. The Pacioretty one that we floated out there, and I know you guys floated out there yesterday too, seemed to make a whole lot of sense for me, and I think that one hurts if you're a Preds fan that he ends up going somewhere basically for free to Carolina. But there's other guys like that out there, maybe not to that same level. JT Miller is the intriguing one. I'm interested to see what his cost would be, but there's Killorn out there with Tampa Bay as well. There's Nyquist from Columbus who's out there as well. Yes. That's got one more year left on his deal. So there still are some intriguing guys that I think you could get via trade.
Let's talk about a couple of those guys, Robbie, because they have a varying degree of value in my mind, and I can't wait to float some of these guys at Elliott to see what he's hearing in his circles. But let's take one that you just threw out there, Gus Nyquist. With this signing of Johnny Gaudreau, Columbus is way over the cap. They've got a clear space so that they can sign Patrick Laine. They said yesterday they fully intend to sign Laine, and that's going to be very expensive. And Laine is a flawed guy, even though he can score. Beyond the fact that he can score, there's issues there, big issues. So what's he worth? But they want him. So I know a lot of people have said, well, what about trying to get Laine? It's not going to happen for the Predators. But they've got a shed somewhere. Nyquist, I believe you could just, in one phone call, you could have Gus Nyquist for the last year of his contract. And I think it's like $5 million. What do you think of him? Any thought there? I mean, I don't. He's a steady, good player. He missed an entire year 2 years ago, but he played all 82 last year. He's 33. I was kind of looking at that saying, worth it? Or are you better off just letting the guys you have try to make it happen there?
Well, I think you'd certainly be better off with him than the guys you have right now, because to me, there's still a pretty glaring hole in the top six. And is he a game changer? No. I mean, he had 53 points last year, 18 goals. He's traditionally been right around a 20-goal guy. Now, he had 28, but that was almost a decade ago at this point with the Red Wings. But he's traditionally around a 15, 16, 18. You know, he scored 20 a couple of times, goal guy. So it's not going to be a high volume of goals that he puts together, which honestly I think is what made Pacioretty so intriguing, because I thought he and Johansson would have been perfect together. So that one really stings, I think, if you're a Preds fan. But Nyquist is a guy that I don't think it would cost you that much via trade.
I don't think it would cost you anything.
Assets.
Based on what Pacioretty, I think they would be excited to take the phone call. I think you could offer some Tootsie's vouchers, some fringe benefits around Broadway when the draft is here next. I think you'd be good. Future consideration.
Yeah,
some Goo-Goo clusters.
Get anything you want to in there, and they would give it to you. So, like right now, if that's the route you wanted to go, I'd probably rather see David Poile do that than sign Niederreiter to a 4 or 5 year deal. The term with some of these free agents would scare me off, and I just don't know that Phil Kessel is the same player and is worth that type of an investment.
Yeah, and unfortunately, well, okay, how about along those lines? I'm kind of with you on Kessel. I'm lukewarm at best on him. What about Paul Stastny on a one-year deal?
That's an intriguing guy. I mean, he's bounced around. He's played some wing in his career. He's played some center as well. That's the other thing. Like, Johansson is 100% a center. He's not playing on the wing. He's going to be a center. So that's also an interesting thing when we bring up the Dylan Strome part of this too. So let's talk Stastny, let's talk Strome. If you go get one of those guys that played down the middle, are you moving one of them to the wing? Are you moving Granlund back to the wing? Like, I'd be really interested to see how they would handle that. Like, Stastny, to me, I would probably steer clear of that unless the price is really, really low, I mean, in order to acquire him. But that's the other part of it is, if you acquire a guy that's traditionally been a centerman, are you moving Granlund back to the wing? I guess that's something they'd have to figure out.
Exactly. The fit is important. All right, last one, Alex Killorn. What do you think?
I really like Alex
Tampa's Killorn. Desperate. I think they, like they said, like I think Adam used the word on your show yesterday, Robbie, Tampa can be devious. They can be creative. They find loopholes. Maybe they can find a way to keep Killorn. But it doesn't look like it to me. They're over the cap. They've got no space at all. Could you get Killorn for a year?
I think you could, and he's an intriguing guy to me, Willie, because, you know, honestly, he's not ideal for me in the top six. I think he's a really good player. He's right around 20 goals every year. So definitely could play in the top six for you this year. But he's also a guy to me, and especially with the way that he plays the game, that if you did want to elevate Tanner Jeannot to the top six, and I don't know if they do or not, but let's say the Predators did want to elevate Tanner Jeannot to the top six, I think Killorn is the type of the guy, unlike Luke Cunningham, I think Killorn is a guy that could step in with Sissons and Trennan and fit in and they wouldn't miss a beat. Like, I think that's something to keep in mind here too. So I don't know that Killorn for me is an ideal solution in top six, especially given his age and the wear and tear on his body. But he is interesting in the fact that I think he could play in the top six and he certainly could play on the third line. And I think there's a little bit of versatility there that Killorn would bring to the table. So it could be a like if you go get Killorn, it may be a little bit of a different approach. And maybe Jeannot is your answer in the top six, and Killorn slides in on that third line. But I don't know exactly how the Predators would handle that.
Robbie, good stuff. You've put in the work today. We asked for overtime. You gave us 16 really good minutes. So rest up. I know there's more action on your show tomorrow.
I just really wanted to get Darren's thoughts on his best trip to Chicago again. Somebody named Lauren has weighed in on that. But maybe we'll save that for another day.
Yes, let's do that. Robbie, great stuff. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. We're coming back with more. We've got more names to throw out there for the Predators. What is the move? You heard Jay Fresh. You heard Robbie. We're floating some names out there that still could be on the Predators' radar. Could be fits. If you've got thoughts, 737-1025, area code 615, call or text. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Predators' patience here trying to address the second line. We're back after this on 102.5 The Game.
Good stuff from Robbie Stanley. Appreciate him joining us. Ryan McDonough, he's a defenseman for the Predators. He will join us at around 12:15, so a little bit less than an hour from now. We'll catch up with Ryan McDonough for the first time on the show. Elliot Freeman, his last installment for this year. And then he'll crank back up with us when the season begins next year. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Quickly, before we get into our list, Willie, let's go to our phone line driven by Wilson County.
This isn't the list, which will be tomorrow's show.
That's tomorrow at noon.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
It might be a little afternoon.
Well,
depends on when our coverage of the showcase game is finished up, but we will have the list for sure.
Just for people who have not heard, we will have coverage beginning. Our show starts at 10 o'clock. Coverage beginning at 10 o'clock. Puck drop will be at 10:30. For the Predators prospect showcase game, and we will be carrying that live here on these airwaves during our show. That's at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue if you want to attend. We had Igor Afanasyev on the show yesterday. Really good conversation with him yesterday, and he'll be a part of everything tomorrow. And then afterwards, I know you guys will recap a lot of this, and actually I'll be doing the afternoon show with the suit, Chase McAbe. So we'll be doing that from 2 until 6 o'clock. So that's all of our coverage in that window of 10 to 6 tomorrow. But let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County. And by the way, Willie and C-Mace will be on the call for the game. Just wanted to pass that along as well. Austin, you're up first. What's up?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Great.
So I've been, you know, watching the free agency quite a bit. Like, I've been keeping my eyes. I'm really thinking that the two top players that I believe the Preds should go after, or one of the two, is T.J. Miller or Nino Niederreiter. I believe either one of those two will be the perfect fit for that second line. I believe that Nino Niederreiter would probably be the best, but T.J. Miller would be younger, I believe, right?
Are you talking about J.T. Miller?
Yeah, J.T. Miller. T.J., sorry, J.T.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure you were naming somebody we have not discussed. I'm like, T.J. Miller, I'm not – okay,
so – Yeah, I was thinking that maybe in my mind I was like T.J. Watt or something. I'm sorry.
T.J. Watt might be good. I don't know. He's an all-around athlete. All right, we'll discuss, Austin, because obviously I like your list. The problem is those guys, well, Niederreiter hasn't been signed, and Miller, there hasn't been a deal struck, and you just wonder, is it too rich for David Poyle's blood? Do they fall along the theme of what's happened the last 24 hours, right? And so that's what it feels like. I personally would think I would be big thumbs up for Niederreiter, but if he's asking for the moon, then I know that it's not realistic.
There's just no way he's signing a one-year deal. Based on what everybody else got, he's got to be looking around going, geez.
Yeah, I'm at least getting four.
Getting four. So that's the difference. Niederreiter would be a great fit. I would love to have Niederreiter. He's one of those guys you hate playing against because he's nasty. He walks the line.
I like his game a lot.
And he
fits
scores.
What they do.
Yeah,
he fits what they do.
Absolutely. He's aggressive. He's fast. He's tough. He's Swiss, so Roman Yossi's probably got a line in on him. Hey, man, Nino, come on. But like I said, it's just the Predators are not in the market right now for a 4 or 5 year deal, which is what everybody else got. Andre Palat, who's 2 years older, just got 5 years.
Yeah.
And he's a great player, but man.
But 5 years from the Devils.
Come on.
Oof.
That's rough. So David Poyle, I give him credit. I think he has shown his cards. There was a day and time you would never get any kind of insight. He would hold things close to the vest. You know what I read earlier today, Darren? There's only two teams that have not made a transaction since the bell rang yesterday for free agency. The Predators and the Islanders. Only two. And you have two of the most widely experienced GMs in the game running those teams, David Poyle and Lou Lamoriello. So, you know, part of it is because those two have already invested their long-term deals and just can't afford to add anymore. If you look, both of those rosters have plenty of them. So the Predators are looking for that one-year thing. So Niederreiter, I would love to have him. He's a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's going to happen. But JT Miller is a really interesting one, and this is one we're going to be all over Elliott about. What's the market for him? You heard Jay Fresh talking about, well, in a perfect world, JT Miller, you shop around, you get a huge return, and the team that signs him to a long-term deal. But how many teams can do that right now? And he's 29. I wouldn't mind having him for 1 year and then try to figure it out after that. Do you want to keep him? Do you not want to keep him? But what would it take
to
do that?
Yeah. But what do you have to give
up? But Vancouver is in a position where they are over the cap. They have to do something. They have to trade JT Miller. So what does that do to your value? I'm sure Vegas, when they started the summer, was like, oh, yeah, we'll just trade Max Pacioretty, and we'll probably get a couple good things back. And then nobody was calling. Nobody's offering anything. It was the Al Pacino. It was the Michael Corleone. Here is my offer. Nothing. From Godfather Part Two.
Yeah.
I'll take him. I'm not giving you anything back. So,
or Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise. Who's with me?
Yeah. Now, JT Miller is younger.
The Goldfish is with me. Who else?
Yeah. So JT Miller is younger. He's 29. And I'm sure he wants a commitment. But there are so many teams that are trying to figure out, how do we make this work next year when the cap goes only up by $1 million? It's a hang up for a lot of teams. So I don't know. I'm just wondering. It's worth some phone calls. JT Miller. And Bo Horvat is the other one I think they'd like to keep. He's a homegrown guy, but he's about the same price and the same deal. 1 year left on his contract for about $5 million. Then there's Alex Killorn, who we talked about. Tampa Bay still up against the cap. Gus Nyquist, Columbus, up against the cap. I don't think he's as attractive, but he's a steady veteran player that I think would be a plus. And I think it would cost virtually nothing to get him.
I think he would be a plus. Like, here's the deal. For the people that are screaming from the mountaintops that they haven't made any move, well, if it doesn't make any sense, like, to do a move is dumb. I mean,
right.
To do a move to say,
that trap.
Hey, we did something, like, that's just dumb. Like, make the right move. I mean, the stuff that you saw yesterday, other than the Pacioretty deal, and we don't know what went on behind the scenes. That is the only one. Like, I'm really questioning, why didn't that happen? That fits what you told us on our show when you joined us that fits that mold. I don't understand why that one didn't happen. The rest of this stuff, the deals that have been given, I would have liked a lot of these guys, but what they got, I totally understand why they said, yeah, no, that's a no.
Yeah.
No thanks. That is the only one. Now, but just to do something, like, that doesn't make – that makes zero sense. Just to what? Satisfy people? Like, yeah, hey, we did something. Yeah, and the first time after about a month and a half when they suck and they're not doing anything, you're screaming from the mountaintops, what a horrible move. Well, you wanted something. There you go. There's the move you wanted. So it's got to make sense. I think Kadri, it seems like – is he going to come back to Colorado? Is that
– No.
No?
Not that now that they have re-upped with Arturi Lehkonen, I don't know. I think he's sitting around going, what?
But I haven't heard that hot team. Is this now Calgary, now that they lost Gaudreau? Is this where they jump in for Kadri?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I'm telling you, there's a lot of teams that don't really have the serious money for that kind of commitment. And if they do have that, it's the Detroits, the Ottawas, the New Jerseys.
Well, Calgary's got it. They were going to offer him $80 million. So
yes, Calgary definitely has it. But Kadri is 31.
I know.
Is he that good?
He is. He's pretty darn good. Not an 8-year, not a 7-year deal, but you
That's
can
what
offer
he wants.
Him. Yeah,
That's
you're
what
not
he
giving,
wants.
Yeah, he's not getting that. I mean, he's really, really good. Don't get me wrong, yeah. But 7 okay. years. Oh, let's come back on this. Let's continue
yeah,
this.
And Kadri is not on the Predators' radar. We
no,
know that. So
he's not.
Where he goes, only indirectly at best, would affect the Predators. But we'll get to them in a moment because I want to ask you more about Nyquist and just give you some numbers on him and you tell me, is he
in
worth
or out.
It?
Okay, we'll do that on the other side here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Let's do this. Let's go on and give away those tickets to see My Chemical Romance at Bridgestone Arena on August 23rd. Doesn't this get you in the mood, this music?
Man, I was like, what happened to the mood here, man?
let's bring it down a notch or two or three.
Or six.
Caller seven at 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Max Hirsch is eagerly awaiting caller 7 for a pair of tickets to My Chemical Romance at Bridgestone Arena on August 23rd. Ryan McDonough in the third hour. Okay, so let's talk about Nyquist. Columbus needs to shed.
Columbus is over the cap. They have not yet signed Patrick Laine, which they intend to do. Gustav Nyquist, Gus, 1 year left, $5 million per year. He is going to be 33 years old. Missed the entire season 2 years ago. Did not play a game. Came back last year and played 82 games. He had 18 goals and 35 assists, 53 points. That is basically a Gus Nyquist season. If you look year in and year out, he's got some numbers that are very, very – it's scream second line, okay? Let's just pick a year. Age 28, 2017, 2018 with Detroit, last year with that club before he was traded – or last full year with that club. 21 goals, 19 assists, 40 points. The following year at age 29, 22 goals, 38 assists, 60 points. Got traded to San Jose for the stretch run. Had a good playoff run with them. Then he signs a free agent deal with Columbus. The first year, 15 goals, 27 assists, 42 points, but that was in a 70-game season because of COVID, the shutdown. Right? So that's a, you know, so basically, he's a guy that's going to get you most years, if he stays somewhat the same, between 45 and 55 points. And I would say realistically, I think 50 points would be realistic.
On the higher end.
On the high. Well, I don't know about the high end. He had 53 last year.
Yeah, but he's not a – it's not
is
like –
Is 50 realistic?
He's about a 40 – if you're on average, he's about 47
okay.
points a year.
Right, but he – but 20 goals.
20 goals.
18 to 20 goals, 45 to 50 points. Is that second line? It's a heck of a lot better than the second line last year.
Well, again. If it has a pulse, it's going to be better than what they traded.
Okay, but that's what they're looking for. They're looking for an upgrade there because they have an exceptional third line.
I think he's overpaid. I just don't think. What does he make? Five? Over
five?
Five.
He's exactly five.
Yeah. It's probably overpaid.
Okay, and the other thing I don't know, because he's been in the East for the most part, is he a winning player? Is he a guy that kills penalties? Is he a guy that, I don't know what his analytics are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's a pretty steady player. He's a really intriguing benchmark. Now, what about Alex Killorn, a guy that lights up all the lights in a Ryan McDonagh kind of way? Like, if you ask Ryan McDonagh about Alex Killorn, who is under $5 million, he had 59 points last year in all 82 games. To me, I would be all over that. Would you put him higher on the list than Nyquist? I'm just saying Nyquist, I think, would be very gettable right now if that's your baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather take a run at Killorn?
Well, they're both about the same age. Pretty much the same age.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, they're about the same player, really. I mean, production-wise.
In terms of goals and assists,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Killorn's a little bit bigger dude. But, you know, I like him coming from the winning culture, obviously. I do like that. I do think there's value in that. Nyquist has not done a ton of winning in Detroit and Columbus, so Killorn has been a part of a winning culture for a decade. And so that, to me, gives him the inside edge, all things considered. But the question is, what is he looking for? Like, Nyquist, I think I feel pretty good. You can get him for a song, and you can just play out that 1 year, and there's your one-year guy. But can you do that with Killorn? I mean, what does he want? What do you think
he's got 1 year left on his deal. He has 1 year left.
And so Tampa's in the same boat. They need to shed.
I think they do. Now, Tampa is creative. And they, like you heard Jay Fresh talking about earlier in the show, you know, it seems like every year you hear Alex Killorn's name as well. I don't know if they can keep Killorn. But they're sitting there right now underwater in the cap. Their projected cap space on Cap Friendly is -$7 million. -$7 million. So you tell me, something's got to give. So to me, Alex Killorn has got to be up for discussion. I don't know how. They just signed Ian Cole for $3 million. So you tell me.
I mean, Neil said on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Killorn had 0 goals in the playoffs.
I don't care. He's got 2 rings. He had 25 goals during the season.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, he did not have – this is the only year he did not have a goal in the playoffs. So, okay. But guess what? Last year when they won the Cup, he had 8 goals and 9 assists. He had 17 points. It's pretty darn good.
Yeah. Look, has he got some mileage? Yeah, he's got some mileage. But to me, is he a clear upgrade, and does he bring something to the table, a winning element, ingredient? Heck yeah. To
Brian,
me, that's worth looking into.
On our text line, agrees with me. He says, Killorn, he is a winner. So, yeah, I mean, he comes from a winning culture. So, yeah. If you're asking me, all things equal, right? We did that yesterday. All things equal, I'm giving the edge to Killorn.
Okay.
But I don't know if all things are equal.
Well, when you say all things aren't equal, I agree with you, but the leverage is with the Predators, I think, for these players. These are teams that have to get under the cap before the start of the season. They have to. So they have to make – something's got to give. They've got to do something. So I think you make them an offer, a Michael Corleone. I think you try to lowball and see if you can get somebody without really giving anything up. Now, I would be willing to give some stuff up to get JT Miller or Bo Horvat if that was on the table. We know JT Miller's being shopped around. I just wonder what offers have come Vancouver's way. I think in a perfect world, they would have dealt him before the draft and then been able to know what they've got. Right now, that move that they made yesterday for, how do you say his name, Ilya Mikheyev, the guy that was with Toronto, they signed him for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like they signed JT Miller's replacement. That's the price area. So they've got to get rid of that salary. And they're holding out to see what offers come around. But I don't think there's a lot of teams that can, A, make a good offer, and B, sign him long term. But if you're just trying to grab him for 1 year, that's, you know, what are you willing to give up? High pick? Second rounder? Prospect? For JT Miller for 1 year? And Miller, I don't know if he's got any no trade protection or not, but it's basically, hey, JT, you're coming here for 1 year, and then we're going to figure it out.
I know Ryan Strome signed with Anaheim. Did I miss something? Is he
Now, last I checked, he had not signed.
He had not signed, yeah. Right? So
unique situation. But he's another guy. Can you get him for 1 year? Or are you willing to try to put him on the books beyond this year?
What, Ryan get 5 years from Anaheim?
5 years from Anaheim. Oh. They had the money. Now, I did look at this. Vegas is still over the cap. Now, maybe Vegas very well is just not playing ball with anybody in the West. But Jonathan Marchessault is another guy that's been rumored to the Predators for a couple years. He's got 2 years left, $5 million per, age 31. I really like him. Can you make that work for 2 years if you're the Predators? Is that worth moving some guys around? Remember, Tanner Jeannot and Alex Carrier are going to get big raises next year if they do anything this year. They're both playing at less than $1 million a year. What are you budgeting for them a year from now?
It's hard to see what you got to know what is the follow up going to be for Tanner Jeannot.
Okay, let's say he scores 18 goals but is also, you know, blowing people up, doing his thing, just has another good year. Maybe it's not 24, but it's 20. So what do you do?
We can discuss that and more to wrap up the second hour on the other side. Congratulations to Mark in Murfreesboro. Hey, not in Mount Juliet, in Murfreesboro. Mark, congratulations. Go enjoy My Chemical Romance at Bridgestone Arena in August. Thanks for listening, and have fun at the show. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour next. We are your racing station, home for NASCAR, Sunday, 1 o'clock p.m. That'll be the Cup race. Also, Chase will get you ready, get your blood flowing for some vroom vroom Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. All of our race coverage here on the station presented by Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. A little bit more upbeat. Max bringing us back. I'll tell you what. Right now, watching the Marlins and the Pirates in Miami, like, it doesn't get any better.
This is awesome.
I'm for certain we've got way more listeners right now than are at this game. I mean, way more.
I'm pretty confident of that.
I'm not pretty confident. Like, I am. That's just a no-brainer.
You've also got the kids with the neon shirts. Like, hey, let's go to the Marlins game. Summer camp. We're going to the Marlins game. Everybody wear this neon shirt of this color so we don't lose anybody. So if we see a neon shirt walking around the upper deck aimlessly just trying to see, can I go any higher? What's up? Maybe there's a ball up there. Maybe there's a free hot dog up there. Let's just see how high we can go. Isn't that always the interest of a kid? That was definitely me and my little brother and my buddies when we went, let's go to the top row. Let's go all the way up there. But see, if you got the neon shirt, the camp counselor can say, okay, there's little Will and Josh and TJ. They're up there. See the shirt? Okay, as long as they're back here by the seventh inning, we're okay, because the bus has to roll at that point. That's the kind of game this is. The Marlins, get all the camp counselors and the summer camps, get them on the buses, and get them there to fill the seats. $5 tickets.
Yep. Way more listeners than Pirates Marlins. Andrew in Franklin, not Andrew Franklin. On our text line, it says, give me fuel, give me fire, give me Nino Niederreiter. Very well done, Andrew. I like it. I mean, I think that, to me, he is number one, but I don't think it's realistic. I just think his asking price is going to be too much.
Now, if he's still sitting there in another couple days.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. Now, it doesn't mean he can't come down, but he would If you're asking me what fits what they do, you're talking about a huge upgrade on that second line and fitting what they do. He is the huge upgrade and fits what they do guy. Niederreiter is number one for me as well, but I think the price tag is going to have to come down significantly. James on our text line, James from Clarksville, why not go after Dylan Strome? He's young and skilled.
Yes.
So we talked about him earlier. So if Ryan got 5 years, which I think is too much, what is Dylan going to command?
I think obviously everybody's surprised. Now, Dominic Kubalik signed with Detroit on a 2-year deal. He, to me, is not quite as exciting as Dylan Strome. Dylan Strome's a center. He's been top six. He's got value. There's no way he's getting a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. I think people are still having trouble wrapping around the idea that it's hard for the Predators to sign anybody past 1 year right now. I know it stinks, but for this year and next year, they're kind of stuck until they know what they're going to pay Janot and Carrier. And if you say, well, just worry about it later, well, that's how these teams get into this situation where they have to give players away, which is exactly what Vegas did. Vegas was that team that said, hey, trade for Jack Eichel. You know, guys, that's going to put you like $12 million over the cap. Don't worry about it. Trade for him anyway. And yeah, here they are. They're giving players away. So David Poile's not going to roll that way. So
let me tell you,
Dylan Strome's not getting a 1-year deal. I don't think if he is great, but I don't think he's going to take it. He's going to get term from somebody, don't you think?
The other part of this is what you're going to hear on Friday. At some point, these guys have to come into play. Like when, you know, how long are you going to let Zachary LaRue just keep developing? How long Evangelista? Like how long are these guys going to keep Svechkov? I don't know. He's over in the KHL. Like at some point, also these young guys are going to have to give their opportunity as well. So you can't keep signing people to 4- and 5-year deals. There's no room. Like you have to have a mix of the young guys as well. And they've got all these, you know, first and second round picks sitting there in the system that are developing. And they're going to be ready. Like somebody's got to be ready in the next year or two. So, you know, yeah, you want to address that second line for this year, but you don't want to address it for the next 4 years.
Right.
And hamper their development,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. You're dead on right. It because unless you're completely giving up on Tolvanen and Tomasino, you've got to give a pathway for those guys to have a chance. Or even somebody who hasn't done it yet, like Evangelista. Even a Cody Glass, who knows, maybe the light goes on there. Like, there's got to be some pathway for those guys to jump in there because those are gold to have guys that are making less money give you good production internally. But there's room for one guy on a short-term deal. I don't know if you can squeeze a second year out of there, but really I think ideally it's 1 year. That's just how I see it. Now, maybe they'll have to get creative. Maybe they'll have to move some other. We talked about Tolvanen, Fabro, guys who are still very, very young that I don't think they want to move. But if you're clearing space, it comes back to this too. What kind of raise is Tanner Janot going to get? What kind of raise is Alex Carrier going to get in a year? You could work on those deals this year. They're a year away. You could have some conversations on that. I had somebody throw out there $3 million for each guy. Is that unrealistic? They were both two of the top 10 rookies in the league last year. Now, they're unique because they're a little bit older, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that do? I think it's a very debatable topic of what exactly you would pay. I think you'd get a lot of different answers. But I don't think Tanner Janot is going to play for $1.5 million next year if he has any kind of season. Like, wouldn't you bet on yourself if you're Tanner Janot?
Yes.
And say, you know what, I'm gonna prove to you that I can do this again, and then we're really gonna talk. You gotta be prepared to give him a pretty good raise. You know, I don't think if he's a special player, which we all think he might be, right? He's a late bloomer, but he's special. I don't think you're gonna get him for the David Poile discount of, hey, you know, let's get you the 3 years at 1.7. You know, he's gonna want more than that.
Well, I do want to see the follow-up season. I really
absolutely
do. I'm very
absolutely
curious to see with the breakthrough that he had last year and the incredible season that he had last year. And I know he faded down the stretch, but look, the numbers are the numbers. It's still over 82 games, and it's a pretty impressive resume. By the way, his resume looks better than some of the guys we've been listing. Okay, so it was still an impressive, but I do want to see the follow-up. I am curious to see what is the follow-up. Now, help me with this, because I'm just reading it word for word, and I want you to help me understand this text, but it's because I think I'm a little confused. David in Hermitage on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Give Miller and Saros in goal and Colorado losing Cadre and their new goalie, I think we would be a lot closer to Avs. Make the deal. It can be done. I'm reading it word for word, so I didn't
He's
follow.
Saying if you could get JT Miller.
Okay, get JT Miller.
And
but,
with Colorado losing Cadre, you're closing the gap. You would look
Oh, he's not saying give away Saros. He's saying with Saros in goal?
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Well, Colorado, though, did address their goalie situation. And
they did.
They believe they've got, you know, their next guy, right? They've locked him up.
Yeah.
So,
Georgiev. We'll see. They may have upgraded there. They may have stayed the same. We know they're going to be really, really good. They've been very smart, I think, when you get down to it. They've managed the cap pretty darn well so far. They've got the makings of a run. Now, next year, they got some major questions.
Yeah,
major
but David questions. Didn't address what you have to give up for Miller, though. Like, we're in agreements. Like, I get it. Massive improvement. Massive. And, yes, McDonough bringing back Forsberg and adding JT Miller. Does the gap shorten? Yeah.
Yeah.
Significantly. But what do you have to pay? What's the cost to get him? That's what we don't know.
Whatever the cost is, Vancouver hasn't liked the phone calls they've gotten because
yep.
If they did, they would have traded him by now. He's been shopped for a while at this point. The other thing I don't know is if JT Miller and his group are telling Vancouver, look, I want a long-term deal with – and I don't know that he has any kind of no-trade protection to be able to dictate that. These are the things we're going to have to try to find out from Elliot at 1 o'clock.
We will do that. We will continue the discussion on the other side to begin the third hour. Also, Ryan McDonough will join us at some point in the third hour as well. Elliot Freeman, the last installment with him at 1 o'clock. More DDC next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.